Okay, so the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Thank you. So, like I said earlier, good morning. Welcome everybody here. So you've come here this morning and it's Christmas time, you know, everyone, we got trees up, cookies, hot cocoa. Everyone's supposed to be in a cheery mood. And you come here to get some food for yourself and your family, maybe have a pleasant visit with some of your neighbors, some other people from the community. And here I am, I open up the Bible, and it starts talking about this ministry of death. And you might be wondering, what am I talking about? What is this ministry of death? Is this some sort of new program being rolled out by the federal government for 2024? It's not. Don't worry. So, don't worry about that. It's actually a much bigger issue. But so let's address this. What is this ministry of death that we're talking about? The ministry of death is the law of God. Okay. See, we see in our passage that I just read how it talks about how it's carved in letters on stone. And you may remember, if you're familiar with the Bible, that refers to the Ten Commandments. That the Ten Commandments were actually carved in stone by the finger of God and given to Moses. And the law reveals our sins to us, reveals to us the death and condemnation that we deserve. The law of God by itself is bad news for all of us. So let's look. So this, where we're reading, or where our passage is in the Bible in 2 Corinthians, was written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul also wrote the book of Romans. So I'm going to read something from there. This is from Romans chapter 3. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. We have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So I want you to feel the weight of this situation. I want you to understand how serious it is to be under the ministry of death, as Paul puts it. See, none of us are righteous. Like I just read, no one is righteous. No, not one. That every mouth may be stopped. All of us have to stand before God, and all of us apart from Christ are under the ministry of death. And that the whole world, like I just read, the whole world will be held accountable to God. There are no exceptions. Everyone will be held accountable to God. And we cannot justify ourselves. The word justify means to defend something, to show that they're in the right. But none of us can be justified. None of us can be shown to be in the right before God by what we do, by our obeying Him, because we all break His commandments. We can't be justified by anything we can do, because through the law comes our knowledge of sin. Through hearing the words of the law it's as if we don't already know. And we already all know, I think, that we're sinners. We all know we're not perfect. We do things wrong. But when we hear God's word, when we hear God's law, it reveals to us more how sinful we are and the problem that we have between us and God. So we mentioned the Ten Commandments, and I know you've probably heard the Ten Commandments before or seen a movie about them, but let's review a little bit of what does God's Word say in the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Thank you. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. See, we're all accountable to God for breaking His commandments. And this is what we deserve. I don't know if I think probably a lot of you in here are parents. I don't know if your children have ever tried to tell you something wasn't fair. My kids do sometimes. And I try not to let them say that, because I always tell them, whatever you have in life, you always have better than fair. If you're breathing, if you're breathing and you're here, you have better than fair, because fair is for each of us. Fair is standing before God, being held accountable for your sins with no defense, and being judged for your sins, because that's what we deserve. That's what all of us deserve as sinners. That's fair. So if your kids tell you that something's not fair, you tell them they have whatever they have, even if it's not that great, it's better than fair. So that is the bad news that I have for you this morning. But there's also good news. Because there is another ministry. There's not just the ministry of death that I mentioned, that we've been talking about, but there's also the ministry of the Spirit, which is the focus of my message today. And what I want to share with you is about the ministry of the Spirit. So I'll read on here again from 2 Corinthians. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there is glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. So there's this ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of righteousness. So what is this ministry? What is this ministry we're talking about? What is the ministry of the Spirit? Well, let's look at what did Jesus say about the Spirit? Because Jesus actually had a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. So if we look back in the book of John, this is what the Lord said. He said, he's talking to his disciples, and he tells them, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It's better for you that I go away. That's what Jesus told his disciples. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And the Helper is the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So there's four things that just in that passage is basically four things that Jesus tells us about the ministry of the Spirit that we're talking about this morning. He said that at his time, the Spirit had not yet come. That even in the days when Jesus Christ in the flesh was walking on this earth, the ministry of the Holy Spirit had not truly started. Now, the Holy Spirit was active even in the creation of the world, even in the beginning of Genesis, the Holy Spirit was there. It talks about that. And the Holy Spirit also was active in the lives of people in the Old Testament, and we have record of that. But the Holy Spirit was not working to the same scale as the ministry of the Spirit in the New Testament that Paul is talking about and that Jesus was pointing forward to. And the way that the Holy Spirit right now, today, even now, 2,000 years later, is working in the lives of people. This ministry of the Spirit was something that at Jesus' time was still to come.
Amen.
But thank you. So, and another thing that this passage that Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit is that when he comes, he will bring conviction. And that's what in many ways the world needs is conviction. Conviction of their sin and conviction of the truths about God. Jesus also said about the Holy Spirit that he will guide you into all truth. Even in the Old Testament pointed forward to this. Pointed forward to this ministry of the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he said, the Lord God said through him, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So you see that the word of God, that God's saying, I'll write my law on their hearts. The word of God doesn't have to be something that's just external to us. That's like the word of God doesn't have to be just something like written in stone, like we were talking about earlier, but not in us. The word of God, through the Holy Spirit, God writes his words in our hearts, and we can know him. We can know him personally. And Jesus also says about the Holy Spirit, he says that he will glorify me. That is, he will glorify Jesus Christ. The ministry of the Spirit points to and lifts up Jesus Christ. And that's what we aspire to do here in this church. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He died on the cross as a sacrifice for sins, and he rose again from the dead. And he's coming back. He will return to this world. And it's on the basis of what Jesus did for us that we can come to God, that we can be justified. Like I said earlier, we cannot be justified by our own works. We cannot be justified by anything that we've done because we're all breakers of God's law. But we can be justified under what Paul calls the ministry of the righteousness, because it's not our righteousness. It's not my righteousness. It's not Pastor Nick's righteousness. The ministry of righteousness is not ours, but Christ's righteousness applied to us. So we're no longer under the ministry of death that we talked about earlier. So back in 2 Corinthians, there's a couple more things I want to get to here in the chapter.
Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. So this veil that it's talking about, this is something that's also in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus. This veil that it talks about with Moses is mentioned in Exodus chapter 34. When Moses, so this is when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, actually the second time. But when he came down with the Ten Commandments, it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them and Aaron and to all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with them. So here, when Paul talks about the veil, he talks about it in two ways. First of all, like we already just read from Exodus, the veil showed that the law of God had glory, that God revealing himself to Moses with the Ten Commandments had glory. It was revealed by God from heaven. It came with such glory, like it says, that the people couldn't even look at Moses' face. But also, Paul uses this to teach us a spiritual lesson, to tell us that there's a spiritual veil that lies over people's hearts that actually keeps them away from God, that actually keeps them from coming to Christ. And this is talking about people who are under that ministry of death. And even though they hear the word of God, they don't understand, because it's only through Christ that that veil is taken away. I'll now read the last part of the chapter here in 2 Corinthians. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we have here, it's talking about the Lord, it's talking about Christ, it's talking about the Lord, it's talking about the Spirit. Like we just read, it says, only through Christ is the veil taken away. And when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And then it says, now the Lord is the Spirit. So it can be a little bit confusing, even as I was studying it, is the Lord Christ or is the Lord the Spirit? And I believe that the answer is that they're so closely related, because the ministry of the Spirit, like we read earlier, the ministry of the Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings us to Jesus Christ. So that the ministry of the Spirit and the ministry of Christ are so closely related that they both are referred to here as Lord. And like it also says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Holy Spirit sets us free from the ministry of death. We are set, if we believe in Jesus, we are set free from the burden of our sin. And like I also said, we're transformed by beholding the glory of the Lord. That's how we grow in Christ. Once we've believed in Christ, put our faith in Him, we continue to grow in Christ by beholding the glory of the Lord. By reading God's word for ourselves, that's one way we behold the glory of the Lord. By worshiping Also, by worshiping him in church, we're beholding the glory of the Lord when we worship together. And like the very end of the passage says, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This is all the ministry of the Spirit. This comes from him. It isn't something that you can do for yourself, but it's something that the Spirit of God does inside of you.
Amen.
So, thank you. Thank you. So I know we covered a lot of stuff in the Bible today. I know we went over a lot, but I do want to make sure that the main points are clear to you of what we've been talking about. Apart from Jesus Christ, we have no hope. We will all have to stand before God, and if we stand before God with just our own works, we are under the ministry of death, and we will come under the condemnation. But like our passage says, when one turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. And we know that it's the Holy Spirit who brings this about, who brings people, who opens people's eyes to be able to see Christ, to remove that veil from them. So where are you today? Are you under the ministry of death or under the ministry of the Spirit? You could be under the ministry of death and you could not even know it. Or you might... You might not even think about the commands of God in your life. Or you might even deny that any of this stuff that I'm talking about is true. But you're still, no matter what how you think about it, you're still going to be held accountable to God one day. Or is the Holy Spirit working in your life? Is the ministry of the Spirit at work in your life, convicting you of your sin? Do you know your need for a Savior? Do you desire to have Christ? And if so, then come to Christ. Come to Christ, trust in him. Because that's the important question at the end of the day. Is are you under the ministry of death or the ministry of the Spirit? All right, that's what I have to share with you today. And I'll close in prayer.
Amen.
Father God, thank you again that we could be here today. And thank you for all these people, Lord God. And we pray you would bless each one of them, bless their families, provide for them. We pray, Lord, that they would have good holidays. But most importantly, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be at work, that the ministry of the Spirit would be continuing and working even here today and in the lives of these people, that you would be drawing us to Christ and that we would be growing in him, beholding the glory of the Lord. And we pray, Lord, that everything would go smoothly with everyone getting their food today. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.